So we called it ingredients of a successful marriage, what makes up a successful marriage. I said number one is the Word of God. The Word of God must be first place and final authority in your lives and in your marriage and in your family. So it first of all starts with you as an individual, that the Word of God must be first place in your life. If the Word of God does not have any value in your life, you will not regard it in your marriage. And that is what helps you to moderate your marriage, that your marriage does not go off guard and you don't destroy what God has given to you. The Word of God is God's manual for living. Amen? You don't operate a vehicle except you understand how to do it. So blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. He says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Amen. So even marriage is something you do, it will prosper because you're what? In the Word of God. You're meditating in the Word of God. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So if you want to prosper in all your ways, including the marriage way, amen, and have good success in your marriage, the Word of God has to be your guide. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. It says, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. He said, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. This is the place of the Word of God. It's life to your marriage. It's life to your person. When you know the Word of God and you do the Word of God, you stand on the Word of God, you meditate on it, it will make you, your life healthy. Everything about you will work well. Hallelujah. You will not be a failure. Your marriage will work. Now, Psalm 119, verse 105. It says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Through the Word of God, we see, amen, so we don't stumble. And everything we do as believers is based on the Word of God. That is how we see. That's how we navigate. That's how we discern. That's how we know between good and evil. That's how we know what is of God and what is not of God. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, it is not God. It doesn't matter what manifestations you see. If something does not line up with the Word of God, it is not of God. It doesn't originate from the Lord. God has no part in it. Now, your marriage, number two, your marriage must be Christ-centered and kingdom advancement-driven or focused. This is a vital part of marriage, Christian marriage and Christian families. Otherwise, you wake up one day and be tired of your marriage. You don't, not that you're tired, you're just not happy with everything. You're dissatisfied if you're a Christian. Because people fail to realize that there are three people. The first day you got married, there were three people there. And those three people go home together. See, you mean there were three people? Yes. The husband, the wife, and the Lord. The Holy Spirit is there when you're getting married. And he follows you. Bible says he shall be with you forever. He shall be in you and with you for what? Ever. So as you're going home with it. After you say, I do, you do and go home with him. Hallelujah. So when you displease the Holy Spirit and you're not kingdom focused or kingdom driven and you're not seeking the kingdom of God, things are going to start going wrong. You will not understand why. He's trying to get your attention. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, let's start it from there. Amen. Some people are more interested in all the things that have to do with the world, you know. He said, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. A lot of people feel that when they get married, one of the most important things, it is important, but it is not the most important thing, is money. That money makes the marriage work. Some money will help, but it is not all there is to it. Hallelujah. Because if it was, Hollywood would have the best marriages. Don't you think so? There's a lot of money rolling out there. But their records are not abysmal. You know, I mean, when they tell you, they change wives like shoes. We have to do it with the kingdom of God in mind. Jesus in mind. Jesus is the one who controls the home. The people say he's the silent listener in every conversation in the house. He's there, the person of the Holy Spirit, listening to all that you're doing. And because of him, we ought not to do some things in our homes. But we're back to what we're talking about. We're reading from the scriptures. So money is not the number one thing. Jesus is the number one thing. God, whose address is the Lord Jesus Christ, is the number one thing. 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than the raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Now in verse 33, he says, which is the end of it because I have some way to go. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his ways of doing things. And all these things, which things? The things that we didn't read, that the Gentiles seek after, the home, the cars, and all the things that the world seeks after, aircrafts, whatever it is that you're looking for that is money-based, these things shall be added to you. They'll be added to you. Part of seeking the kingdom of God is being in church. Hallelujah. Every family or marriage must identify a place in the kingdom of God where they worship, where they are accountable, in a place where people hold you accountable to live the Christian life. Not if they don't see you for 1 month, they just, you know, say, well, this is good. It's okay. If they like it here, they'll come back. If they don't like it here, maybe we need to do some seeker-friendly thing and all of that. No. They ought to tell you the value in what you're doing. And if you're not doing it right, they ought to be able to call you and tell you, follow up with you. So both of you must go to church regularly, and it must be a Bible-believing church, spirit-filled church, where your family will fellowship and be accountable. Go to the kind of church where you'll be held accountable to live the Christian life. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 tells us, it says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as we see the day approaching. Now, we are encouraging one another in Christ when we come to church. We are admonished, we're warned concerning the things that have to do with eternity. If you leave this world, where are you going? And whilst you're here, who are you serving? Because you see that people did a lot of things during COVID. COVID showed who people were. In that period, people's faith was tried. So we should be in church, amen? That's where God gives us, we hear information about the kingdom of God. We're taught life principles when we come to how people navigate life victoriously through the kingdom of God, amen, or in the kingdom. Hallelujah. It helps to keep us from being hardened, you know, hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. This is what happens when people don't go to fellowship. They're at home by themselves all the time. They conclude things by themselves. They just do some weird stuff and get into a lot of hurtful things. You know, this is how people start shacking up, and it seems acceptable. That is how people get into relationships with wrong people. And all the red flags were there, but you didn't have anything to go with. Nothing. You know, you had this feeling, uneasy feeling about this relationship you wanted to get into, all right? But you couldn't put it in articulate speech what was wrong with it. But when you read the Word of God, you will see what was wrong with it. Praise the Lord Jesus. You know, some people are believers, and they marry people who, while they were dating them, were never in church. They always looked for a good excuse not to come to fellowship of other believers, to the gathering of the saints. Now, you marry the person, and, you know, you come to church and lie to us. Say, you know, my husband, we were Christians. But I don't know why he doesn't come to church. You knew before you married him, he wasn't going. Now, I'm not talking about people who both of you were not going. That's a different thing. But you're a Christian, committed to Jesus. Regularly, you're fellowshipping with the saints. You're supporting the work of the ministry. This is another thing about kingdom, seeking the advancement of the kingdom of God. You have to support the work of God with your finances, with your tithes and your offerings. That's how you support the work of God. And you're participating with God in winning souls, inviting people to church, doing the things of God, in prayer, in praying the will of God upon the earth. It is by prayer that we cause the will of God to come upon the earth, the influence of the Spirit of God. That's how we bring it, and through the Word of God. So you have to, as a family, you should be praying for the kingdom of God, that the kingdom should come, that His will, God's will, be done in the earth as it is done in heaven. That's what Jesus said. When we pray that people should get saved, that souls should get saved, that leaders of nations should be saved, that we may live a godly life, when we're praying that the kingdom or the influence of God will come upon the earth. You're a student in a school. Begin to pray when you get there. Have time when you give to God and pray about the school. Lord, influence this school. Number four, love one another in your homes. If you don't love your family, how would you love the church of God? The Bible says, let piety start at home. Man, you have to love your wife. It's not a feeling. It's a choice. It's a choice. I choose to love you. So I love you. You wake up in the morning, you tell her that you love her. Where's the love coming from? It's in your heart. The Bible says that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. You take care of her, and she takes care of you also. And you build security in the home. There's something that needs to be told. Don't make people feel like you're going to get rid of them, you know, just like that. Especially in your marriage, in your home, concerning yourself and your children. God cares. And God loves us. Even when He wants us with one hand, He will draw us closer with the other. And He wants us so that we will not be condemned or destroyed with the world. Everybody needs to feel comfortable in the home. Don't make your husband feel you're going to divorce him anytime. Don't make your wife feel that there's always a divorce court, we can sort it out there, and all of that, you know, because there are a lot of lawyers who are waiting to, you know, get a divorce done. Don't be like that. Don't be in that place. God does not say that we must fall in love to marry, but he says we must love those whom we marry. The Word of God wants us to love our children, to love our spouses, love our children. It's easy for people to love their children when they're their biological children. It's easy. Now, it brings me to something I wanted to talk about. A man came into the marriage with some children, and the woman came into the marriage with her own children that she had previously. Maybe she lost her husband. I'll use my, you know, or he lost his wife and both of them came together, like was the situation here. And our spouses went to heaven and we got married. Myself and Pastor Beatrice, we got married. And we're a blended family. One of the things about a blended family that you need to take with you is patience. And the Bible says that love is patient and is kind. These two words, don't leave them behind when you're going into a situation such as that. It is so vital. And be a Christian when you get there. Don't leave your Christianity out the door and put your street smartness when you get there. And, you know, this is why love, the kind of love God talks about, is not a feeling. You know, you come into the home, and first is that the people you meet there, if the man moved into the woman's home or the woman moved into the man's home, it's expected that the woman should move into the man's home, right? So I'll use that. And you met people there. One of the things that they're going to do is that they're going to be hostile to you. It's expected. Because you came into their space. Who are you? They're using my stuff. they're taking over my daddy. They'll be hostile. And who's she to take over my mom's place? I can't call him. He's not my dad, so he can tell me what to do. What do you do when you're caught with that kind of thing? I can't tell all the stories. Hallelujah. People get upset. But Jesus gave us something. You know, Saul went around killing Christians. He was just killing them, arresting them, causing some of them to denounce Christ and all of that. When Jesus met him, Jesus knocked him off the horse, put him on the ground, knocked him with some blindness, and started talking to him. What he did to him in love, in spite of the fact that he was a destroyer. So you must be ready that they may not accept you. So you take love, kindness, and patience with you. So when you get there, the first thing is that you're a believer. And believers walk in love. They walk in love. Love is not just about you patting people on the back and all of that. When it's necessary, do that. But love them genuinely. Treat everybody the same. The minute you do it differently to someone, it makes you... Because remember that everybody is suspicious of one another. In a blended situation, people are suspicious of you and they're looking for something to hold on to that you did wrong. Something to show that you don't like them. If you ask that people, children in the house, do dishes, make a roster, and everybody does dishes. Don't say, oh, princess doesn't do dishes. Where she's coming from? Well, you low lives are going to do it. Don't do that. If you do it, You wouldn't just have knives and daggers. You're going to have guns in the house. Different things will start happening. And bombs and grenades will start going up. And you're not going to be happy. As long as the children of your spouse are not happy, you are not going to be happy. Because your spouse isn't going to be happy. Find out their rules. Who are they? What are they doing? You have yours. Don't pretend. Children can pick a phony anywhere. They know this person is fake. So be yourself. Be yourself in Christ. Don't be your nasty self, unrenewed mind self. Be your Christian self. Amen. Yourself in Christ. You are a believer. Everything about you, Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Let the new creature in you be yourself. All right? Don't try to pretend to be something that you're not. Hallelujah. And be there to help. Just like any parent will do. If they really have problems and you see them wanting to come near you, they want to talk to you about it and all of that, make it easy for them. Hallelujah. Because given time, you guys will become friends. So when the conversation starts coming, encourage it. And above all, the Bible says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Don't let anybody feel you love one, you know, your biological children more than, no. Because God is going to hold you responsible. Remember, God trusted you. That was why he brought those people to you.